All right. Welcome to another episode of The Close-Up. I'm your host, Stephen Cameron, a part of the Orlando Magic HQ Network. We have a really, really fun episode today. We got Jason Beattie, fresh from the Jeff Weltman interview, the media session Jeff Weltman gave today, Monday, June 24th, 2 days before the draft. It's a good conversation. You know, Jeff is interesting because he says a lot without saying really anything. And so like Jason and I are kind of like trying to figure out really what they're thinking as best as we can in this conversation. You know, Jason does a great job with his coverage of the Magic over on Orlando Sentinel, and Orlando Sports. It's just a really good conversation we have. So make sure you go give him a follow on Twitter, on X. You'll find all of his content there. And he's at, you know, all the Magic practices and media sessions and things like that. Before we get into that conversation, shout out to the HQ team. We got a lot of content coming up. I believe there'll be multiple podcast episodes this week with this podcast on Tuesday. And then you can expect the Orlando Magic HQ flagship show with Alan Anthony coming out on Friday, which will be after the draft. So you'll have draft reactions and early free agency talk with them on Friday. We might even throw in a couple spaces things, and we got our man Brett just throwing down YouTube content over and over again with different free agents that could happen and trades that could happen. So check those out. We're blasting content out for you guys. This podcast is brought to you by Bet Online, your number one source for all sports betting needs this season, from baseball, golf, soccer, right to all the top fights on UFC, MMA, and boxing. Every stat, every matchup, every live odds and spreads while the games are going on. It's pretty cool because everything's changed. You can do it all while the games and matches are being played. When the game's over, head over to our online casino and get in on the game of blackjack or poker and unwind with one of their 150 slot casino machines. It's kind of crazy how many options that BetOnline has for you if you want to be playing those types of games. It's a lot of fun. Head over to the website today. Get in on the action. Use promo code BLEAV, that's BLEAV, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. This podcast is represented by BLEAV Podcast Network. Let's get to this episode with Jason Beattie of the Orlando Sentinel. Thank you. All right, everyone. Like I said, we got Jason Beattie of the Orlando Sentinel. Jason, what's going on, man? Welcome to the show. How you doing?
Good, good. It's been a minute since I've been on the show. I think the last time I talked to you was during the season, right around my first road trip on the beat, which was exciting. And since then, it was a great first year on the beat. Just a lot of fun. Obviously, experiencing the playoffs was, you know, just so unique and special. And it was a great season.
Do you feel like going into year two covering the team, things are like you're feeling a little bit different than you were when we first talked, you know, at the beginning of the season last year?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, in so many different ways. I took over the beat like the day after the draft, really. I don't think it was announced for a couple of weeks, but like I sort of started doing some work at that time, and just the mental space I'm in, the experience I have under my belt, the relationships I've developed with players, the coaches, the staff, everyone in between. I'm excited. It's not like I wasn't excited before, but there was like that nervous, that angst, that, you know, that unsettling feeling of what's going to happen next. And I still don't know exactly, but certainly I'm in a better space for sure. And just feel way more prepared, way more excited. You know, now
That's awesome.
I can really just jump into it and just work. So it was an awesome year. It was really great. The team is a great group of guys, and I'm just really blessed to be in this to be in this spot right now.
Well, I know we all loved the contributions you made to covering the team last year, and it's I imagine it's only going to continue to grow. Just as you know, you're not a rookie in this game anymore. You're the seasoned vet and ready to come out firing. And that was right. I remember you got you joined right around the draft time, like the rookie the summer league was, you know, part of your early covering. So this whole off season will kind of be like your second off season with the team, which will be pretty sweet. Speaking of off seasons, we are recording this on Monday, June 24th in the afternoon. Jeff Weltman just had a kind of a surprise media session, you know, a couple of days before the draft, draft being on Wednesday, June 26th. How did you feel about this media session today? Just kind of, you know, we kind of, I feel like it was expected that we were going to hear from him before the draft. He does that kind of annually, but it wasn't really announced until this morning. How did you feel about just, you know, going into this morning's media session and now like afterwards, it's been a few hours, you've been able to consume the information a bit more. Just how are you feeling about all that?
Yeah, first of all, it was great to be back in the facility. I mean, it was kind of like the playoffs ended and we all kind of took a little bit of a month and a half break. We did see some of the guys over in one of the training rooms. I think Caleb Houston was there, Anthony Black, I saw for sure. A couple other guys may have been in the back or whatever, but just to be back in there was cool, kind of getting back into the swing of things, like I said before. But yeah, I think the biggest takeaway from our conversation with Jeff was just basically like, this is a different draft than the last few years. You know, this is the first time they're outside the lottery since 2020 when they took Cole Anthony number 15. I was just outside the lottery, but outside regardless. At number 18, it's such an interesting draft. I think there's been a lot of conversation about how this draft isn't very strong. That was something we asked Jeff about. But the overall thing I guess he talked about was just that this is a different year, the draft for the Magic, which shows the progress of the rebuild, shows how far the team's come, how far the franchise has come, especially since the arrival of Jamal Mosley. And you know, I think even last year we talked after they picked Anthony Black and Jed Howard that, you know, young guys are going to have to earn their playing time. We saw a little bit of that. Those two rookies took different paths, of course, but whoever they draft at 18 certainly is going to have to work really hard to find their way into the rotation, because you look at such a already young roster, adding another young piece to that mix is intriguing. And we asked him about if that's something the team even needs, and he talked about that. But just I think the overall takeaway is just Jeff admitted just and spoke at length different times and different viewpoints just how different this draft is for the Magic and not being in the lottery for the first time in quite some time.
He mentioned, you know, as you said, it's a different draft, but he used words specifically about needing to calibrate how they approach it, right? He said calibrate twice, approach a couple of times when they addressed it at the start and at the end. What do you think that really means? Like is he talking about, hey, maybe we'll take best player available here. What do you really think he is trying to say when he says we have to recalibrate how we approach the draft since we're picking at 18 and where the team is at? Because in his comments about, you know, needing to recalibrate, it was in addition to, you know, we're in a different place as a team now. They have their foundation, they have their core players. You know, they're not their goal is not to continue to like be in the lottery. They want to meet and exceed where they're at this past year. So I'm just trying to understand how you interpreted those specific like elements when he was breaking down like his draft thoughts.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Jeff's not one to share too much about anything specifically, right? I think we know that for him to, you know, to say a whole lot of words, but not necessarily mean anything. But with that said, I don't think the Magic are reworking how they view their prospects. Like their process is probably the exact same, you know, in terms of background checks, in terms of understanding who they could potentially pick. I think Jeff said it again today, the person is just as important as the player to the franchise. And same goes with free agency. They're not going to add someone who has some tough history or off the court problems. Like they're still looking to add someone who can represent the Orlando Magic the same way recent draft picks, the same way recent free agents have done so in the past. You know, I think Jeff said today that they've been working on this draft since last year's draft ended. So in terms of like the preparation for the draft, I don't think he means recalibrate in that sense, but I think recalibrate the expectations. Maybe they did that a little bit last year. We saw Jed Howard spend most of the year with the G League. I don't think anyone expected that to a certain degree. Certainly once the season began, it became clear he wasn't part of the rotation. It wasn't as surprising, of course, but you know, the fact that they're not in the lottery pick, they're probably not drafting someone who's, you know, 18, 19 years old, unless someone falls, of course. But if things go as planned, I think a pick where, you know, maybe they're a little bit older, or you can look at the other way. Maybe they draft someone really young and they see how Jed Howard had success and they go, well, this worked for him. I think we can, you know, go down that same path as well. But I think 18, you're not getting that top tier talent, right? You're not getting lottery talent, let alone top 10 pick. You're getting a player who maybe teams overlooked. I think there's been great value at 18 over the years. You know, someone who's on the roster now that the Magic didn't pick, Goga Batase was an 18, number 18 pick back in the day for Indiana. But there's been other, you know, I think later picks in the first round tend to be guys who, you know, you look at Derek Lively last year, I think he was 16 or 17 for Dallas. So he didn't look like a rookie this year, helping them, you know, being part of that finals run. But yeah, I think when he says recalibrate, I think it's just more so expectations rather than process.
That's fair.
I think that's what he means more than anything else.
Yeah, I get that. That makes a lot of sense. It's interesting because, you know, I would not be surprised if pick 18, assuming it's used, is sent into the G League for the majority of the year. I think we all, as fans and media, have to readjust our expectations on how players are used within their first early years, just by what we saw with Jet last year. We saw the team be depleted with injuries, and he was not, you know, during certain sections, and he was not called up to be part of that rotation, you know, whether that was the right call or the wrong call. But I would not be surprised if that happens again with pick 18. You know, spend your first years working with the G League and you know, getting a little bit of garbage time here and there as it's appropriate for the Magic roster. But at the same point, you know, you mentioned maybe they're drafting someone who's a second or third year player, a little bit more polished of a player, might be able to come in and fill a rotation spot a little bit easier in a very specific role. And that's where I think I wonder, could we see them draft a little bit more for positional fit, you know, roster building? Granted, you can only do that so well considering free agency is after this, and that could, the whole team, the team dynamic could change with free agency. But I do feel like maybe there's going to be a part of that. Do you think their approach as far as best player available or fit is going to be taken? That was asked in this press conference today. What was your takeaways with his response to that?
Yeah, I think I'm pulling up the quote now exactly just so I can reference it. He said, "You'd love to have a luxury. You'd love to have the luxury to draft off needs. The further down the draft, the slimmer the odds are of finding players who you believe will have meaningful NBA careers. So you're kind of dealing with all those different levels. If it winds up that the player addresses your needs, it basically means that you're doing pretty good research on your picks." Like, I think at 18 specifically, you know, going off that quote, it seems to me like the way he said it, if they get the right guy who addresses the needs, which they have multiple needs of, and then also has some sort of upside, they're probably going to get picked before 18.
Yeah.
So I think when he said that, it was kind of just like, you know, they obviously do research on who could be drafted probably anywhere from 14 to 20. You know, there's a range. And I think this draft specifically is so interesting where there are a lot of guys who go anywhere from 14 to 20. Who the Magic end up at 18, I've seen tons of different projections. Obviously, there are some guys who have more pull than others towards the Magic based on, you know, speculation and whatnot. But yeah, I think when you're talking about need versus best available, it seemed like he kind of said that with where they're drafting in 18, getting needs is probably not the way they're going to go, not just because they want to go that way, but just because of the reality of the situation where they find themselves at 18. But I still think you can find a player, if they want, if it's available to address some needs. But with that said, it's like, okay, they need more shooting. Well, that's kind of what Jet Howard is going to provide at some point. So, it's interesting to see how they juggle having someone who already spent a year in the G League, having a young guy like Anthony Black as well in that mix, and how they go about this draft is interesting. But yeah, I think that best available versus the needs, it really just depends on how the cookie crumbles, right?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And it's interesting too, because even if they feel a need, it doesn't mean they're necessarily going to be on the floor playing. Jet Howard in theory filled a shooting need last year, but he spent a whole year in the G League. And that's
And
a
I and
player
I
who
asked Jeff about Jet. I mean, I said is I he actually spoke more about Jet than I anticipated. I don't
he
think he
did.
I wasn't exactly asking for questions about Jet. I was more so asking about, how does that knowing that it was successful, how does that impact this year's draft? And he kind of went a different route at first. He did come back around and say that it was part of the process that, hey, look, we just had a guy spend a whole year in the G League. That was successful. I think also going back to the person, just as important as the player, not too many guys who were lottery picks are going to be thrilled with spending a year in the G League, right? I
Yeah.
mean, I think Jet was a pro's pro this entire year. Every time he was in the Magic locker room, which was rare, every time he was in there, I tried to talk with him, and he would always be professional about the situation. I don't know how he felt truly, but at the same time, I think he was still overall pleased. I don't think he was hiding anything. But what Jeff did say about Jet, and that process is, it is something that they take into consideration for sure, especially at 18.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I can only imagine, with the second pick, 47, like we can just assume that is a G League player, potentially a two-way roster if they even use it at this point,
I mean, this is just based on like no reporting, no inside information at all. Like just putting it out there so I don't get aggregated. It would be just me personally, my opinion is it would just be surprising if they'd use the 47 pick. Like, number one, based on history, they don't use second round picks a whole lot. Obviously they took Caleb Houston, but they traded last year's. I mean, we're talking about whether or not they need a guy at 18, let alone two guys. I mean, again, if they, I will say this, and maybe you can ask about, the fact that the second round is on the second night changes things. That's interesting, but yeah, adding two young players to the mix would be surprising in my opinion, at least. But like you said, they can do a lot of things in that second round pick.
Totally, they could trade it in a package. They could, I look at our current two ways. You have Admiral Schofield who can't come back. He's
Right.
reached his time. You have Kevon Harris who is at the end of his 2 year two-way contract and didn't get any meaningful playing time last year with the roster, even when there was needs that he potentially could have felt. So it kind of seems like unless he was just injured that whole season, it kind of seems like his writing is on the wall. It seems like they very easily could bring back a Trevlin Queen on another two-way and maybe give Mac a spot. But I could see like, okay, maybe they use 47 for a two-way and just kind of vibe it out that way and see how that works. But yeah, I also, given their track record on how they've used second round picks, I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't use it at all. We'll see. Now, just speaking of trades and usage, do you get the sense that they're open to draft day trades if the right one comes available and potentially might not even be picking in the first round? Like, kind of, what's your thoughts a little bit less about the pick and the player that might come with it, but just the overall strategy of how they might even utilize the pick, if they even use it?
Yeah, I didn't ask Jeff directly like if that's in consideration, knowing that he probably wouldn't have said much at all. Like, I'm sure you listened to it. I asked about negotiations with current free agents. They were able to start talking after the day after the NBA finals. He didn't say much at all. He didn't even name the players. But
I thought that was interesting.
I considered asking about trades. I just knew that it wasn't going to go anywhere, so I just
Sure.
saved us some time. But with that said, I think with this draft already not being quote unquote strong, however you want to view that, he talked about that this draft for some reason has that narrative around it, that rhetoric out there that we don't even know who the number one pick's going to be, and that's not because there's options, just because the lack of options at the top that. Let alone compared to Victor Wembanyama's year, you look at Paolo's year and the options at the top, every single one of those guys could have gone one. Obviously, we know that Paolo is the best of the bunch, and Chet's right there as well. And Jabari Smith seems to be developing along the way. But if this year's draft is so wide open at the top, let alone in the middle of the draft, I'm not sure if the number 18 pick has a lot of value. I mean, it still is a young
Sure.
prospect. And if a team feels the need to move up, I'm sure the Magic aren't going to hold their hands behind their back and say, we really want this guy at 18. With that said, I still think there's value there. I still think the Magic could probably benefit from finding someone, maybe an older prospect, maybe maybe a junior or senior in college who's 23 or 24 years old that could help in some way or form. But we'll see what happens. I haven't heard anything about a potential trade or anything like that, but that doesn't mean it can't happen.
Yeah, I as I've been like mulling this idea of are they gonna trade, I feel like there's like two elements to it. It's like I don't know if they'll necessarily trade up. I like unless they're just it doesn't sound like they don't like this draft, but it doesn't sound like they're itching to
In
go get
love
a
with it.
specific. But I think too, it's like there's probably gonna be a lot of people trying to potentially trade. Or out of this draft or back, and it's if someone else takes someone else's trade that they like, they that might leave the Magic out of it, and there's that. And then there also just might not be enough demand for people who want to acquire more picks within this draft. And so that's where I'm like, okay, maybe the only real potential option is like if it's a big trade, not just like a one-off, hey, I need a team needs to move like a role-playing veteran, like we'll do it for salary and a pick. I think it's going to be like, okay, this is a big trade, multiple different draft capitals and potential players as well to bring in this bigger player. But then when it gets to a trade that big, those are so complicated. It just, who knows if that would actually happen or if the front office even wanting to be that aggressive. So I kind of leaning that we're going to see a new player drafted at 18, come the end of the season, come the end of Wednesday night, and in the Magic roster. So that's just kind of my current gut feelings. But like, you kind of have to ask because it's, we got two rookies right now who one when the team was healthy wasn't really playing much, and Anthony Black, and the other one who didn't see the floor at all. And so it's just kind of how do you even fit in a third one there, or not a third one, but essentially a second one if you consider Howard a rookie going into this year, which some do, even though it will be a second season. But yeah, just thought that would be interesting. So okay, let's transition. So now we're you talked about Jeff too. You're obviously asking the question about Franz and Suggs, right? Like, hey, where are you at with the player extensions there? Like, what's going on? What was kind of like he's classic. He doesn't say anything by saying a lot of things. But what did you take away? Were you able to take away anything from that other than he's like psyched with the relationship he has with their agents?
Yeah, that wasn't much there. I don't know what I expected him to say, but he wouldn't even say whether the talks are good or bad. He really declined to comment on those negotiations. The negotiations also, Franz Wagner and Jalen Suggs are up for rookie scale extensions. Those talks began or could have begun the day after the NBA Finals. They also have their own free agents, and they have some decisions to make this week. June 29th is the deadline for team options on Mo Wagner and Joe Ingles. There's been, I know Philip at Orlando Magic Daily has talked about, maybe they decline Joe's and sign him at a vet minimum or something of that nature. But it would be surprising if they didn't, in some way or form, find a way to get Mo and Joe back. Obviously, they like both those guys and what they contributed. in different ways. But that deadline is on the June 29th. And then there's also a deadline on June 30th for Caleb Houston's third year. It needs to be guaranteed. Obviously, they're going to guarantee that. That would be, I mean, that's just based
pretty
on
easy.
based on just how they handle things. That's a pretty easy decision to make, I would say. So there was just a lot. I think it was a loaded question, and the answer he gave was just like a non-answer, which wasn't surprising. But I think at the same time, those relationships do matter. I think it's better than having any relationship or having just a plain old relationship with their agents. So obviously those talks are ongoing. But yeah, there wasn't too much to take away from it because he didn't say too much about it. But I still had to ask. I was just curious because there is more than the draft on his mind this week. I mean, there's free agency right around the corner. And I think, Jeff said today that the draft comes first, but all of this changes on a dime and it comes fast. And I think they're prepared for, different scenarios to a certain degree, of course.
I mean, I'm sure they've even had to contemplate potential trades that have been proposed to them this week and the week before. There's been multiple trades, so far this offseason already with multiple, maybe it was just one, but the Alex Caruso and Josh Giddey trade. Maybe there was another one I'm forgetting. But yeah, I'm sure they've had some phone calls and had to make decisions on that, those sort of situations as well. It's interesting. Yeah, I be hard for me not to see Mo Wagner back. Just with his relationship to his brother Franz. Joe, I would think would come back. But at the same point, Wednesday comes around and the right trade comes around and they need some salary filler. Those are great players to include in a salary filler situation for a receiving team that might be trying to clear cap space as well. So I don't know. It's going to be interesting with those two particular. I don't get the rush that they are in a rush to extend to Suggs and Franz. Like, I know they probably will. Wasn't it pretty late into the time period when they extended Cole last year? It was like closer to the deadline. When is the deadline for Suggs and Franz? Do you know that off the top of your head by any chance?
We don't know the specific date because the schedule isn't out yet, but it's the day before it's the day before the regular season starts. So usually that's like October 25th or October 26th, like the end of October. I think they want to get the draft out of the way. They want to get free agency out of the way. That's just the way, based on what he said, it sounded like this is their order of operations. That doesn't mean they aren't. I mean, obviously they're able to, handle multiple things at once and have conversations with different people over time. But it would make sense to get that done, for it to be actually done based on how they've handled things in the past, based on what Jeff said today. It'll be, and that doesn't mean like it was a stressful situation getting it down to the 11th hour. I just, again, going back to the order of operations based on what he said and how they're planning things. That wouldn't be surprising to me either.
Yeah. It's probably not high on their priorities at this very moment for particularly Suggs and Franz when they know they have time. They have good relationships with the agents, as he said a couple of times in your response today. If I had to imagine this at the end of the season, they said, "Hey, we love you guys. We're going to make sure we're all on the same page going into next season, getting some extensions or, what your long-term future with the Magic looks like." Maybe there's some rough ballpark ideas being thrown out there, but they probably said, "Hey, we'll get into the nitty-gritty of it in the middle of July." That would be my guess, right? But because that's kind of seems how it happened with Cole last year. And like you mentioned, he talked about the order of operations and, how that would play out with this too. It's interesting. Free agency is interesting. We have our own free agents. Gary Harris, Goga Bitadze, Chuma Okeke is a restricted free agent. What are your thoughts in those three players particularly? And then we'll move into how you think they're going, how you think they're operating with the rest of the league.
Yeah, I think Gary is really interesting because he's another guy where you could probably get a younger version of him in the draft. or trade him to get a younger version of him, or not him specifically, but that type of player. At the same time, I'm not sure Gary was, I mean, we know he wasn't healthy. He missed a lot of games this year. So how do you evaluate that versus the year before, where he was one of the best 3-point shooters on the team, if not the best? And has that veteran presence, offers a calming presence, has tons of playoff experience and whatnot. I think Gary's also a guy that, maybe he comes back on a deal that's not expensive, but they want to keep him around potentially. I'm just hypothetically speaking here that, I think Gary has value in a team that, obviously the Magic's goal is to win a championship, but that's not this year, right? That's multiple years away. I think anyone would say that. But with Gary, it's like you could re-sign him and then use him as a piece to get something else back to another championship team that wants to win now. Just because of Gary's experience, his shooting, when he's healthy. He's obviously a defender on the perimeter that knows a lot, has been in the league for quite some time, and I still think he's important. I mean, obviously they added Joe Ingles and whatnot, but having him around is worthwhile. And I understand that, it's kind of like when your one job is to shoot and you're not healthy and you're not shooting well. Well, what are you around for? But I think they know what he is when he's healthy. And when he's healthy, he's a really good 3-point shooter. In terms of Chuma Okeke, it's not, it's just a tough situation. I think when they drafted him, there was a lot of, obviously he was injured at the time and whatnot. He went through that recovery and he did play a lot of games. Obviously his role has diminished quite a bit over the years. There was that one stretch of the season where a lot of guys were hurt or sick or whatever it was, where he did get some significant playing time and whatnot, but obviously he wasn't part of the rotation. I without hearing anything about his situation right now, I think we'd all be pretty surprised if they reworked a deal to bring him back. And that's no, that's I mean, that's just a no disrespect to Chuma or anything like that. I just wonder if he's part of their plans long term or not.
It could also be one of those things where his agent goes to them and says, "Hey, even if you wanted him back, we kind of are looking for a different situation where he
Right.
might be able to get more playing time." And
Yep.
there's like, "Okay, there's nothing wrong with that wanting that either." And
Right.
they go with that option as well. And maybe he goes to a Detroit or some other team that depth is not as deep in his role, where he's playing behind Paulo, Franz, J.I., Joe Ingles, like a lot of Jet Howard potentially could be taking minutes from him at some point. So it's just there's a lot of players in front of him before he Mo
Right.
Wagner even gets minutes. So it's just a lot. So yeah, that makes sense. Now, what's the feeling with Goga? He's had a little bit of buzz in the media world where there's some teams that think he or some people that think he could go sign a solidified backup role for another team. There's a little bit of rumblings that he'd be interested in going back overseas and playing in the EuroLeague as like a starter for a team or something like that. But it seems like the Magic are interested in him to an extent. Like they traded for it or signed him off of waivers after he was waived, then re-signed him to a deal. So I just yeah. What do you think they're feeling with him right now?
Yeah, I think Gogo Batase is an interesting commodity. I think there are a lot of teams that saw what he did this season. There was even, I think, a lot of national media that necessarily didn't follow the Magic day to day and saw what Gogo was doing and said, oh, they now can trade Wendell Carter Jr. because of Gogo's success. I think Gogo's success this season showed potential more than anything. I think as Wendell's injury kept him out longer and longer, and Gogo was forced to start and play more minutes, not forced, but you know what I mean, being that position because Jamal Mosley wanted to keep Mo Wagner with the second unit, more than anything else. I think as we saw over time, there were just a lot of decisions that Wendell would have made differently, right? I think Wendell's basketball IQ is really sharp and he understands what they're trying to run more so than Gogo. That's nothing against Gogo. I think just Wendell's been
It's more
obviously,
experienced.
yeah, more experience. Exactly. It's just plain and simple. So I think with that said, it's kind of like Cole Anthony. Gogo Bitadze is a great bench player, and that's not bad. That's not a bad position to be in. I think given Wendell's injury history, given Mo Wagner not being of starting quality, again, he's still just a great bench player that comes off and provides them energy and takes charges and does all the dirty work and is kind of a menace on the court when he's out there. I think keeping Gogo Bitadze should be something the Magic want to do. It's really interesting to see a lot of teams. There's been a lot of reporting. I think I saw a report today out of New York that's saying that the Knicks would be interested in him as a backup center. And I think there's some other teams around the league that would be interested in him. So I think if you're the Magic, obviously you don't have to spend a lot of money on him to a certain degree, but I think keeping him in Orlando would make a lot of sense. During his exit interviews, he made it pretty clear that he didn't know what was going to happen when he got traded and cut and whatnot, and he was grateful that they took a chance on him. And I think people out there remember how young he is. He doesn't have a lot of experience, and there were some fans that thought he deserved more playing time, and maybe they're right for a portion of the year. But I think keeping him and whatnot is I think that should be not a priority per se compared to the other things on their table, but
Sure.
certainly something that would seem important. I think getting him back, I think would make sense for Orlando.
Yeah. I mean, he filled in nice. He's got size that some of the other centers don't have.
Yeah, he's a bit more traditional, I would say.
Yeah, that's interesting. And then I can't believe I didn't bring him up earlier. They have one more free agent that we saw have an interesting year. He was a starter, then got injured, then kind of came back. They tried to start him again and then got kind of shifted to the second unit, and that's where he spent the rest of the time. The player I'm talking about is Markelle Fultz. He just reached the end of his 3 year his last 3 year contract with the Magic. I have two thoughts. One is, he's loved by the Magic community and the Magic family, with the team and important to the locker room. But I also wonder, does he also potentially want to go to a team where his role might be a little bit different and not just in that second unit where he might have opportunity to become a starter again one day and things like that. Just a gut check. What do you think we could see with Markelle Fultz? I'm sure there is interest with this front office with him, but at the same point, his biggest weakness is the team's biggest need as far as shooting. So just, what are your thoughts around Markelle Fultz as the player with the Magic next season?
Yeah, it's interesting. As someone who watched the Magic from afar and knew about Markelle Fultz and what he went through with his shoulder and stuff, I think I've talked about this with Philip at Orlando Magic Daily quite a bit. Like, the problem with Markelle this year was obviously his shoulder was still giving him some problems. We all saw that with the way he shot the ball, but then also he had the knee problems. So when you're trying to lift with your knees and your shoulder also isn't there, and then neither of them are at their healthiest, right? That just hurt him quite a bit, obviously. But with that said, even later in the series against Cleveland in the first round, he was pretty important in terms of, penetrating the paint, attacking the paint and whatnot, and helping in that area. I think he's another guy that's just been through so much in his time in the league, that has, he's kind of a veteran in this weird way in comparison to the rest of the Magic roster. He is a former number one pick, so there's obviously some talent there. But I would imagine that if he comes back to the Magic, it would be on a somewhat team friendly deal. It's obviously not going to look like his last extension, but I think he'd be happy to come back. I'm not sure if, again, he's a priority for the Magic per se. I think they're going to explore other options, just based on his availability and whatnot. But
Sure.
it's kind of like Gary Harris. Like, you look at Markelle Fultz last year and the role he played last year compared to this year. I think the Magic do have confidence that Jalen Suggs can be a point guard of sorts. And maybe they go after a shooting guard instead in free agency, and they let Jalen be kind of that point guardish role. But with that said, I think, you think about what Paolo Banchero told the Washington Post, maybe 3 or 4 weeks ago, that he wants a point guard. And I think Markelle is more of a traditional point guard than anything else, but he's not healthy all the time, and they need someone healthy. So again, I'm not sure if he's a priority, but I think they also like him a lot. He's also really important in the locker room, which goes further than people might think. So it's an intriguing situation. I also agree that he could definitely help some other teams around the league. Maybe the San Antonio Spurs, maybe the Charlotte Hornets, like teams like that where someone like him could help a lot. But I'm not sure if that's what he wants. I'm not sure if he wants that type of situation. Like I think he's I've pressed on this before. Like did that bug him that he went from starting to coming off the bench pretty much down the stretch after the All-Star break, and he was just like, I'm willing to help in any shape or form. Like I think this guy is just a guy that's like happy to be on the court. Given what he's gone through in his career, he's just happy to play basketball. And I think when he is healthy, he's an important piece to this team.
Yeah, he's an interesting topic, because they've invested so much into him as a player and as a person. And he obviously is important to the locker room and even what he does on the court. But availability is a continued issue for this team with multiple players, including Markelle Fultz, Wendell Carter, Gary Harris, Jonathan Isaac, guys that, Isaac, all intents and purposes, had a healthy season last year, but three of their original starters, all had major issues, and one of them turned into the a second unit player with Markelle Fultz. But yeah, they gotta get healthier players, and I hope they do take that into consideration as they are building this team for the long term. I'm not saying I wouldn't be happy if Markelle Fultz was back, but hopefully there's some other options there that are healthy that can also manage that, or that that man can stay healthy as a team. As we start to wrap up our conversation, I gotta ask on just regular free agency for a moment. Are we signing Klay Thompson or Paul George? Are they on the roster in like a week or so when we are in July, to nice 2-year contracts, because that's what the rumors have it. We're signing one of those guys. That's how I'm interpreting this summer.
Yeah, I think the Paul George situation. I think Brian Windhorst said today on one of their ESPN shows that like he could potentially be traded as early as this weekend. For me, based on what I know about Jeff Altman, based on what I know about the front office, the way they work, the way they talked continuity, continuity, continuity all last year, I'm not saying they wouldn't trade for Paul George, but I think it would be surprising to me if they blew it up and acquired. I'm not saying blow up everything, but like put a lot of draft or future or players into a trade just to get Paul George when if he opts out of his deal and becomes a free agent, they can sign him. They have the cap space to do so. I think in terms of if he does opt out and chooses to be a free agent, I think it's less about could the Magic get him and more so about is that something Paul George wants? I mean, he's used to playing in a Los Angeles. Obviously he played for the Pacers before, but in a Los Angeles and being that star player. And when you already have someone like Franz and Paolo, like I think Paul George would be a great mentor for them, but you just wonder how that would work. I think Klay Thompson is probably more intriguing of a realistic option. I'm not saying Paul George isn't realistic, but it seems to be that there's just more interest elsewhere around the league. Like I think there's some reporting about the Warriors potentially being interested and the 76ers making a push for Paul George. Like those are just big names that, and obviously the Magic are a up and coming playoff team, but they still have to prove that they can get back to the playoffs. I'm not sure if going after a Paul George is something that they're ready to do right now. But given where Klay Thompson is in his career, I also wonder if he fits into their path. I mean, I remember when we were on the trade deadline, I did some reporting about, there was some report about Chris Paul and potentially the Magic being interested. And I reported at the time that based on what I gathered that I'm not sure if Chris Paul fit into the Magic timeline. I think Phil and I've talked about this before as well. Like, I'm not sure if there's an exact answer. What everyone wants crosses a bunch of checks, but I think there are some other options out there that could definitely certainly help this team improve. Landing a big splash like a Klay Thompson, like a Paul George, a high profile player is exciting. You just wonder after preaching this whole time, this past year, continuity. I'm not saying they're going to run it back exactly, but continuity and considering their future and their master plan. We also have to put in perspective that the Magic almost got to the second round. Who's to say what would have happened against the Celtics? I'm not sure they would have beaten the Celtics, but maybe they would have made it more interesting than Cleveland did. But when you put that into perspective, is making a big move the right option for Orlando? Like, that doesn't mean they shouldn't try to improve their roster. Like, they have to, absolutely. We've talked about shooting, we've talked about a reserve center with Wendell, and where he fits with that. And we've also talked about an actual point guard who can stay healthy on the court. I'm not sure if any of those categorize Paul George exactly, but it would be exciting for sure, obviously. So I just think there's a lot of interest in Paul George around the league. And with Klay Thompson, I'm not sure. I still feel like he could return to the Golden State Warriors when push comes to shove. Breaking that up, it would still be kind of a shock, or just the end of an era for that in that regard.
Totally.
So, and that's not to say the Magic aren't going to do anything or try and add pieces or find guys to improve their roster. They obviously aren't satisfied with what happened. They've said that time and time again. I think Jeff said today that no one in the building is satisfied, but there are a lot of ways to improve your team.
How do you, is there a couple of players that you think that are just on your radar for free agency for this roster, for this team?
Yeah, I think I think someone, it's so interesting you asked that question that way, because I think there's like four or five names that everyone was listing. Malik Monk until very recently was one of those guys.
Sure.
But you also have to think, like, Joe Ingles, I'm not sure if he was on anyone's radar until it happened.
Yeah.
So, like, obviously there are some obvious names. You talk about Simmons from the Trailblazers, and someone like D'Angelo Russell, and some, other guys out there that are on deck or whatever it might be, that everyone's talking about. They might find someone else for a lower price point that could help the team tremendously. Like, even though Joe Ingles is older and whatnot, and he still helped the team quite a bit. And I'm not saying they go for that route type of player, but my point overall, larger point, is that there's probably someone out there that we're not thinking of, or whatever it might be. A perfect example is maybe like a Luke Kennard, like
Sure.
or someone like that, who maybe isn't that big splash, but could still help improve the roster and get them to the second round, or even put them in a position to reach the Eastern Conference Finals. I mean, we have to remember that if they win Game 7, who knows what happens next. And
Yeah.
imagine if they did have just not even an all-star point guard, but just a healthy point guard. What happens? Who knows what a year, another year of improving can do for Paolo and Franz and Jalen Suggs. We saw Jalen take a jump as a 3-point shooter. So there's just a lot of names out there, and I think there's also just expectations versus reality and whatnot. And that's not to say those other guys like Malik Monk, until he intends to re-sign with Sacramento, wasn't on their board. But I just think there's just a lot of options and a lot of pathways that they can go down.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense. And it very well could be something we're not expecting, couple guys I got on the radar, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope, Gary Trent Jr. if he opts out. Both those players would obviously need
I
to
think
opt
KCP
out.
is a pretty solid option, honestly.
Yeah. A little
And
bit better version of Gary Harris.
I still think he's exciting. Like, he
Yeah.
has championship experience. I don't think there's anything wrong with signing a player like KCP.
I wish he had a little bit more volume on his shooting. He's still kind of in that 4 to 5 range of a threes per game, and that's very similar to what Gary Harris does. But he's got a little bit better movement. He's a better defender, taller in size, and a healthier player. I think in like the last 5 seasons, he's missed like 20 games combined or something like that. It's ridiculous how Iron Man he is. His lowest seasons played is 67 games. Then he has another season at 69 games, and everything else he's played like 70 games or above. It's quite incredible. So I was not as high on him for a little while, and now I'm starting to come around to him. Especially considering like they have to hit the 90% cap space on their team, on their on the usable cap space for the roster. So we'll see. But it'll be, yeah, it'll probably be some guy I'm not even thinking about. So, well, Jason, I really appreciate you taking a few moments out of your day to talk with me. It's a as Jeff Weltman says, an exciting time to be an Orlando Magic fan, with the draft coming up in a couple of days. free agency just around the corner and, you know, potential trades at any point in time. So let everyone know where they can. I mean, the Orlando Sentinel, but do you have anything specifically you want to plug outside of go read your work on the Orlando Sentinel?
Follow me on Twitter, at The Real Beauty on Twitter, Orlando Sentinel, OrlandoSports.com is where you can find our sports content. And just should be a fun couple of weeks coming up. And then we got Summer League and then another little break and then it's right back into it. So it's exciting for sure.
The cycle continues. All right. Well, Jason, have a great day. We'll talk to you soon. Magic fans, thanks for tuning in to another episode and we'll talk to you soon. Peace. Go Magic.